lots of recordings. Okay. So, and it's all good because, you know, this is my recovery program. I'm working it for me, and I don't need to impress people or try to make somebody say, oh yeah, she can remember a bunch of stuff. I can't remember anything. You know, I write so much stuff, like this is like 8 pages, you know, and I rewrote it right before I got here. I sat in the car and rewrote it. And to find out, I forgot my big book. So I had these books that I was going to bring on top of this, and Kurt's like, can I help you? And I'm like, yeah, grab those papers. And I'm ordering him what to do. And I forgot the books underneath the papers. But luckily for me, I'm such a great alcoholic. I had one in my car. So, yay. God's in control and I'm not. And that's what I continue to rest on today. So, this is the beginning. This is a WE program. And that's what I learn every time I go to meetings and continue to sit next to people, listen, open my ears. So let's start out with the third step prayer. I say this every morning, and I mean it every morning, because it's about my higher power. So say it with me, please. God, I grant myself to thee, to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always. Amen. So, in my course of the weeks that have been happening up to this day, in rewriting my stuff, I was practicing it yesterday, my little spiel, and I was saying the third step prayer, and I'm like, I'm going to forget it. I'm going to be so nervous, I'm going to forget it. But you know how my higher power works? Like this. And so one of my service commitments is to help the Santa Maria 1600 Club, and I do the literature. So I'm organizing books and I'm, you know, arranging things in what you look out for the books that you can buy. And I get this little book. It was a little big book, but there's a bookmark in it. And so when I take it home and I'm looking at it later and I'm like, oh, this is cool. This is like an old book. It's 1977. But the bookmark had the third step prayer on it. So I'm like, hey, that's how my higher power works, putting that in my pathway so that I don't have to feel nervous. And I forgot it. But that's okay because he knows that I know, because I'm my higher power's project, you know, I'm not my project. So I'm grateful today that I can just like relax and just know that it's going to be in his hands, not mine. So I'm grateful for Gil for asking me. He saw me 6 months ago in Santa Maria, and that was very interesting because it's a 45-minute talk, nothing big like this. It's just, you know, 45 minutes and then you're done. But for me, I went 32 minutes and then I just looked at the people that invited me to speak and I'm like, I don't have anything else to share. And they're like, great, we're all done, let's go. And so, and the great thing about it, nothing happened. The world didn't fall on me, you know, the roof, nobody pointed fingers and said, you're bad and wrong, you didn't go to 45 minutes. It all just flowed, and it was okay, because I don't have to live in fear anymore, because this is my recovery, and this is my person, and I get to be who my higher power is helping me to learn how to be. So, my sobriety date is June 4th, 2009. I just celebrated 15 years of recovery. Yay! I have a home group. It's the 8 a.m. Santa Maria, Monday, Wednesday, Friday. There's a couple people here. Thanks for coming out. But my original home group is Jim in the back, the 12 and 12 Sunday nights. And I was in that for years. And it just continued to help me because I'm such a nerd. I want to like check off everything and make sure I'm doing it right. So the 12 and 12 helped me because it had all this. It was continuously the same thing all the time, year after year. But I kept learning it differently because I was learning new things in me. And that was just, I felt like a butterfly. It was just so amazing for me. So, yay, that's what happened. So, fear is losing a grip on my life because I'm learning to replace it with the good things that I get from meetings and from meeting people and talking with others and seeing that this is a we program. It's not a me program. You know, we're doing this together and sharing and knowing that we can walk sobriety is helpful to me. And one thing I was thinking about on my journey up here today is that, you know, it over the 15 years, I was afraid of going out because I'm so selfish and self-centered. I didn't want people to think of me as bad and wrong. But that's funny because I don't look at other people that, you know, go out after so many years or whatever, and I don't think they're bad and wrong. It's a disease where it affects us. And for me, I'm just learning that your program is going to affect my program, and my program is going to affect yours. So I want to continue to get better inside of myself so that I can keep affecting the people around me and the situations. So in my walk of recovery, I also wanted to bring out that I have learned in other recovery programs, because I'm kind of a recovery junkie, that being fully reliant on God is symbolized by a frog. And so for me, that stays fully in my life, is just continuing to realize that my higher power is being fully reliant on God, because my relationship is priority today. So, going to the nitty gritty of what happened in my life. So the youngest memory that I have to share is before I was 5 years old, my sister and I, I guess we were hungry, I don't know, but we watched our neighbors out the door leave, all of them in their little car. And so we went into their house. You know, our houses weren't locked back then. This was a little small town in Utah. And so we went in there, and we went into their kitchen, and we got out their bread and the peanut butter and milk. And so we made sandwiches. We're sitting on the floor eating and drinking, and they come in. And that was my first, time at getting caught at stealing that I remember, but it stealing continued to have a foundation in my life after that. Elementary school, I stole some things and got in trouble, but it didn't give me any great joys or anything that I held on to, so I just continued life through elementary, trying to do what I could, people pleasing, wanting to fit in. But my most painful years that I remember in elementary were fifth and sixth grade, because I physically hurt myself going through those grades, because I had so many feelings inside. You know, it's that swirling brain, and so many things were outside of my control. I didn't feel like I had support. I didn't feel like I had friends. I didn't feel like I fit in everywhere. Something like what the 10-minute person shared. It's like always looking out there wanting to be able to fit in somewhere. And I never really felt that. So I would like think about it the whole day, and then I would come home and hurt myself physically, and then it would be over. You know, it'd be like a 2-minute feel good moment, and then it was gone. And it was not the most exciting part of my life, but it helped get me through. So that 5th and 6th grade kind of took a backseat to what life was after that, which caused me shame and anxiety. So then I went into junior high, and I, you know, dabbled in some things, but mainly I just smoked cloves without filters, because I like to burn my lungs and just really feel that pain inside, know that I'm doing something. Then high school, drink, smoke, you know, smoke marijuana, do these things. But the main thing that really happened to me is my mom decided she didn't want to raise us anymore. So she had us go live with our dad. And I thought it was my dad. But a few months later, my aunt sat me down and told me the person that I thought was my dad was my sister's dad. And I was adopted. So that was a whole new revelation inside my head that I couldn't understand. So I just pushed it away and just didn't realize it. And she said, and the sad thing is you're not going to be able to meet him because he died 6 months ago. So I've had lots of therapy for this and lots of understanding that that is the road that was given to me. You know, I don't know if it was on purpose or what, but it's not really that big of a deal, because for me, it's just the family that I know is the family that I grew up with. So, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, stuff happens. You grow up. But it's all good, because I now have a book that I can rely upon that helps guide me. And I wanted to read from a story that we just read in our big book study the other day, because it really describes how I felt when I was growing up. And this is on page 309, and it's called My Chance to Live. So she talks about how she felt so confident and on top of the world, but she didn't really have that confidence inside. So then later it talks about, blackouts became my goal. Though it may sound strange, they never frightened me. My life was ordered by school and by home. When I blacked out, I simply went on autopilot for the remainder of the day. The thought of going through my teen years without a single memory of it passing was very appealing. And for me, I just held on to that when I read it. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's, even though the story of what it was didn't really relate to me, the way she felt really relate to me. And that continued to just speak volumes inside of me, because, you know, it's part of that understanding of knowing that we're walking this together, and that I don't have to have every single minute thing fit in with somebody, but it's just those little snippets where we have a commonality and we relate together. So I'm grateful that I can just relax and just look at the things around me and know that my God's in control, and I don't have to worry about what life was for me as I grew up. Okay, and then I just wanted to, like, the persona that I put off when I was in high school was that I was a young woman who seemed able to be with herself, comfortable with everybody, but yet, ever so slowly, these actions that I knew deep down inside started eating holes inside of me, and that caused me to want to drink more. So I drank and did pot and did those things every day because I wanted to escape the reality of having to be somebody and do something to perform for other people. So that's high school, and that's over now. So now we're going to get to the real exciting stuff. Okay, so my first accident was a year after high school. car overcorrected. Everybody fell asleep, overcorrected on the side of the road. We crashed, we rolled. I was in the back. So I flew out the back window, landed 40 feet away in the fetal position. And when the helicopter came and picked us up, this was in Wyoming, in, you know, nowhere land. So when the helicopter finally came and got us, I was in a coma. I guess they figured that out when they took me to the hospital. And then they transferred me to a hospital closer to my dad, my sister's dad, my adopted dad. And I stayed there in the hospital for 6 months. And I had to do physical therapy, speech therapy, and occupational therapy, which was great because that's all I knew. You know, I was 19 and I had a new life now. And it was not what I planned, but that's okay because I wasn't really planning very much. I was only 19. So it was okay. So after I ended therapy at the hospital, we flew to New York because that's what we were doing. We were driving to New York when we got in the accident. So we ended up flying to New York. But when I got there, I didn't know anybody. And life wasn't very fun, you know, because there's nothing really to do if you don't have friends or people that you know. So I hung out with my mom. We drank beer. We ate nachos and we watched TV. You know, it wasn't very fun. And I felt like a big loser because nothing really exciting was going on. So 6 months later, a person that I knew in California invited me to come live with them. So yay, I get a move. So, you know, after talking to a few of my family members and my boyfriend at the time, he's like, well, you can go because I'm not going to marry you, you know. You want to come live in Wisconsin? That's where my boyfriend was. And I'm like, no, I'm going to go to California. So I went to California. It was my ticket to freedom. So I went to California, hung out with this guy that invited me to stay with him. We were together for 6 months. He asked me to marry him. And then 6 months later, we got married. So that's when the abuse started. He was a man who drank a lot. I don't call him an alcoholic because that's what he has to do. I say that he drank a lot and he was not a nice person. But, you know, that was my road and I was doing the best I could in it. And it actually ended up working as a blessing because God used that situation to continue to open me up to see what I was made of. So that I found religion when I was married because I was searching and seeking for a way out of this abuse. So I found religion, you know, I didn't really find God, but I found religion and did the things that it seemed like that group of people wanted me to do. So that was helpful because it gave me an understanding that there is something out there higher than me and I can focus on that and not have to run away and do something that I feel like I have to do. I can relax and take it easy. But I only learned that by having powers around me that could show me that there's a better place inside of me to get to. So anyway, so the marriage lasted for 10 years until I got my first conversation with a higher power. I was out walking my dogs and I heard this voice inside me say, you don't have to live like this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't. This pain and this misery is not mine. I don't have to stay here. And the higher power just like gave me that inkling that you get inside of yourself when it's just like, yeah, you don't have to do this. It was just such a force that felt so good and so encouraging. So I ended up leaving my husband. I went home. I told him I was going to leave in a week. And so I called places and found a place that I could go and look at. So the next week, I packed up my car and I moved down there. And I just moved in with her. I didn't have to go look at other places. I was just like ready to get on a different road. So that worked out for me and I was grateful. So that ended my abuse. But now it started with me. Now I had to try and figure out who I was. So I tried to do me for about 11 to 12 years, but it wasn't very easy because I was pretty sad. But that's okay because God continued to pull me through and show me that I don't have to live on myself. So I, you know, it just brought me to living on credit cards for a year, which caused homelessness and then bankruptcy. So I went into a women's shelter, and then from the shelter, after I got out after a year, I went into ACA. And then in ACA, I learned that I was an alcoholic and I needed to go to AA. Instead of pointing fingers at everybody else, I could now learn responsibility for myself and point to me. So I was in AA. Like I said, I was in the back, you know, raising my hand for the first day or week or whatever it was when I was here. So 1 month of AA, and then I was in an accident. Another accident. This was a bike accident, but after three hospitals, it turned out okay because my higher power continued to show me that AA was the way of life for me. The people did for me so much more than what I couldn't do for myself. They showed up, they helped me find stability and comfort in their goodness of knowing that my higher power is in control, not me. So I wanted to say that meetings have really helped me, providing service, and then it helped me form friends. So part of the crux that is my foundation today is knowing that every day, each day is a day we must carry the vision of God's will into all of our activities. How can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. These are thoughts which must go with us constantly. We can exercise our willpower along this line. All we wish, it is the proper use of will. And for that, I'm grateful because, you know, I need an outline to show me that it's okay to not know exactly what I'm doing and to grab a hold of these thoughts that are going on in my head constantly. So when I was after the accident, I was in AA solidly. I got a sponsor, and on the first day, it worked out really well. But then the first sponsor moved away, and then I got a second sponsor, and then I got a third sponsor. So all in all, I had 11 sponsors in my first 9 years of AA. But that was great because that showed me that I don't have to have my circumstances control me. You know, I'm in charge of my recovery. If I pick 50 people, it's okay because, you know, God's doing for me what I could not do for myself. So I continue to relax and enjoy the ride that I have in sobriety. Now I'm with Judy G. I've had her for the last, you know, 5-6 years, and it's been great because she's stable, she's consistent, and she is a great person of service. So a great light for me, and I'm thankful for that now, 15 years later. So today my recovery stands strong because my relationship with my higher power is still my focus, and it keeps coming true for me. So I was going to read the promises. So, if we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. when I first heard these words, I would cry continuously over and over and over, because it's like, how could this really be true? A new freedom and a new happiness that didn't seem real to me. It goes on to say, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Yeah, I don't want to shut the door anymore. I am who I am, and that's okay. If people are falling asleep, it's cool. I know that I'm doing the best to my ability, and it's okay. You know, if people want to leave, that's cool. I'm not taking it personal. It's all good, because my higher power is in charge. I don't have to have resentments anymore. They don't have to take up space in my head. I can just be free and be me, because my higher power continues to show me each and every day, as long as I hold on to him and hold on to his foundation. So let's see. I'm doing the promises. So we are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past, and I wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity, and we will know peace. No matter. Peace. For me, I used to think peace to me seemed like a nun, or, you know, one of those things that I would see on TV with flapping their ears or something. You know, it's peace to me is serenity, knowing that my higher power is in control. I don't have to run the show anymore. I don't have to try and figure it out, put things in line the right way. I can just relax and know that there's peace and serenity inside of me, and it will show up as long as I continue to keep holding on to that. So no matter how far the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. And that benefiting others is such a foundation for me, because that's what helps me open up each and every day when I go to meetings and share with people that, you know what, this is our sobriety. We're in this together. I need you to share as much as you need me to share, because we're working together. We're on the same road. It's not one against you or you against them. You know, it's a camaraderie. So when I first walked in today, it just, that camaraderie just hit me. It's so exciting to see this place. This is like where I got sober, and then to see people that I haven't seen for such a long time, and then to see people that I am with almost daily in my recovery in Santa Maria. So it's like that family group just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And that's what my higher power keeps showing me, that it's not about all these things in my head or checking off boxes or doing things. It's about continuing to trust and know that no matter how far down the scale I have gone, I will see and experience a benefit from it. So continuing on, that feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. It hasn't disappeared for me, but it has gotten less. You know, I was hoping it would get under the rug and go behind, but no, it's still there. You know, a lot of times I get these thoughts in my head where it's like, you know, you don't have anything to give. You don't have, you know, what it takes. But also I can say that I have other thoughts that counter it. So I'm giving less food to these ugly thoughts and more food to these positive thoughts, which is listening to others and knowing that we're in this together, sobriety together. So self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. And luckily for me, it's amazing, because, like I said, I was bankrupt, so that was not fun, you know. Instead of hiding from the phone or hiding from my landlords, I talk to them today. I do things. I call when people want money from me. I call them back and I say, you know, what is it? And I work out a plan. And just like this last time, I was talking with a school where I've been, you know, taking classes and stuff, and they're like, well, you owe this much money. And even though I'm making payments every month, they want the payments to be higher, or they're going to send me to another collections agency. So I'm like, okay, I can't do what I can't do. You know, it's like, go for it. Send me to another collection agency, because I can only give what I can give. And today I'm okay with that. I'm okay telling people that I don't have what it takes. I can't meet your mark. I'm going to meet my mark. And if that doesn't work for you, then send me where I need to go. And that's okay, because it's the trail that I'm on. So, so the self-seeking slips away and my whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations. And that's what I wanted to, what I was talking about before. The first intuitive thought that I got from my higher power when I was walking the dogs. And now, gratefully, I can say that when I say the third step prayer, I'm ready for those intuitive thoughts during my day. Because it's not my day, it's my higher power's day. And I want to do it to the best ability that I can. So I'm grateful to keep on going and know that he will use me how he will. So we will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. Yes, but they will always materialize if we work for them. And that's one of the firm foundations in AA, is working, showing up, doing the deal, knowing that it's about what I'm doing now, today, for my recovery and who I'm going to be. Yay. So, so what it's like now. So I have no idea the time. I forgot to set my timer. So 10 more minutes. Cool. Yay. So now that promise, now my promise is, when I hear people read that in meetings, I don't cry anymore. Not that I'm not sad or grateful to where my higher power, to where my higher power has brought me from. I'm super grateful, but I'm not in fear anymore. I'm not in remorse. I'm not in those negative feelings. When I would hear that, I would just, it seemed like such a far off thing for me. They used to call me, oh no, I can't even think of what it is. I don't know, I just lost what it was. What's that ship where you wish for things? Fantasy Island. They used to call me Fantasy Island because I would have all these trips, all these thoughts about where I was going to go and what I was going to do, who I was going to marry, what was going to happen. But it was none of those things. That was just, that was in the first 10 to 11 years where I was just trying to figure out who I was and live with the new me that my God was showing me was coming out. So today I can say that the swirling thoughts are still here, but today I have tools to fight them. And that's my spiritual tool chest. It's this big, and it keeps getting bigger because more people like you are getting inside. And what you tell me today, or the things you share in your 10-minute still, that goes with me. That's in my tool chest, and that will help me to keep on going and fighting for this life that I'm encouraged to be in today. So I also have meetings, literature, the friends that I meet, the community, And it's not just my AA community. It's also the place where people want me and know me and want me to be there. So I'm grateful for that. And I have my family, and I'm still proud of them, and they're proud of me, even though they drink and I don't drink. And I used to point my finger and tell them, you know, that this is a better way of life for you, and try to share all these things, but they don't want it, and that's okay. And I'm learning to just relax and understand that we don't all have to walk the same road together. It's okay to just be in the foundation that we're in right now. So I wanted to read on page 375. No, that is not right. Okay, so I don't know where. Oh yeah, that was in a different book. Okay, so like I said, I didn't bring the books that I had studied with. So there in Al-Anon, I learned there's virtues that go with the 12 steps. So the 12 steps of AA are gonna have some great things to go with them if I can get there, because I'm so nervous. Somebody tell me what page it's on, please. What? Okay. Thank you. So, number one, we admitted we are powerless over alcohol. Yes, Lord, thank you. My life is unmanageable without you. And so one thing that I learned from that is that the virtue for number one is honesty. I'm learning to live honestly with myself and the people around me. Number two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And that gives me hope that I can be restored to sanity. I don't have to live in this swirling head that keeps going round and round and round trying to figure out what to do. Number three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And that gives me faith. Faith that my higher power will do things in me and show me that I'm continuing to walk out his line of goodness for who I am as his child. Number four, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And that gives me courage today. Courage to open my mouth and share. Courage to listen to others and know that we're walking along this path together. Number five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. And that gives me integrity for showing up today and doing the right things, because I feel that it's right for who I am as a person that wants to do good for others. Number six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. And that gave me willingness, the willingness to know that my defects will get better, but it doesn't happen overnight. It's a gradual change, and it's not on my timing. It's on my higher power's timing. So seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. That gives me the humility to know that shortcomings are still really short, and they're still inside me, and my God's doing for them a little bit at a time. Number eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And that shows me spiritual love for other people, and knowing that spirituality is what's going to help me make amends to them all. Number nine is brotherly love to such people, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10 is continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. That gives me perseverance to last for a 45-minute talk, even though I don't have all these balloons and, you know, all this exciting stuff. But you're still here, so thank you. I'm almost done. Yay. So 11 is sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him. So your walk of sobriety helps my walk of sobriety and vice versa. And I'm continually grateful for that. And that gives me self-discipline so that I continue knowing that perseverance is going to keep on helping me. And then 12 is having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all of our affairs. Is this an extravagant promise? We think not. Sometimes slowly. But they will materialize if we work for them. Yay! And number 12 goes to service. And that service is being up here and being able to know that I may not have it all. And it's okay if people drift off and, you know, smile, frown. It's okay. Because, you know what? I'm grateful to be here today. Grateful that I said yes to come up here and know that I don't have it all. I know that my life is a process. And that's okay. Because my higher power is in control. And I was going to end with a closer, but I'm not going. So, I'm all done.
Great job. Welcome back to yourself.